pasture like sun. Lays me down, with my mind she runs throughout the night. No need to fight, never a frown with golden brown. Every time, just like the last, on her ship, tied to the mast. Two distant lands, takes both my hands, never a frown with golden brown.
KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3. You're listening to Creative Mindset with Robert Sevilla. In studio, we have a guest. Look at her. Are you getting nervous?
I'm probably always nervous.
Stephanie Himmelman.
Correct. Yes. You pronounced it properly.
Oh, good. I was practicing in my mind.
Okay.
So you are here because I found you on Instagram.
Yep.
And what drew me was the fact that I saw that it's called Terra Mater.
Mater. It can be pronounced Mater or Mater. It's M-A-T-E-R, but the pronunciation I've chosen as Mater. Welsh and a couple of other ethnicities pronounce it that way, or countries, I should say.
And Terra Mater is a village. And right now it exists in your mind, mm-hmm. with a lot of, I'll say, energy behind it, kind of manifestation energy behind it, because I thought it was something that already existed looking at that Instagram page.
Thank you.
Just the care and kind of everything you put into it. And then what also surprised me was everybody would like to open up, I think, a retreat center. I mean, even I have thought about, man, what would be cool if I turned my Airbnbs and like my own home into a retreat center, mm-hmm. which maybe it'll get there one day. Everybody wants to do it, but not a lot of people, I think, have gotten as far as you have. Mm-hmm. And I think that's super cool. We met a little bit before, and you brought some of your food. You have a big vision for it. So mm-hmm. my hope for this show for you is just some people to hear, some people to align with your ideas, your manifestation, what you might be open to, because it's a big idea, which usually means it has more than one person. And the good thing is you have your family behind you, mm-hmm. your husband, you got two kids that are, whether they like it or not, three kids, mm-hmm. they're going to work, be some free labor for a while.
Exactly.
But I think it's just I think this is how stuff gets done. You know, you've got your specialty, and I think what it is being a visionary, and then the motivation to keep pushing it and the perseverance. You were saying that your mom said you were what?
It was my grandmother, actually.
Grandmother?
When I was young, I believe probably 4 or 5, I was learning to tie my shoe and to blow bubblegum. And she used to take us on dates. So she would have a grandchild date. And whenever I would go on these clothes shopping, and we'd go to the Discovery Zone. But whenever I went on these dates with her, I was, one time in particular, I believe it she was referring to, I was really tenacious about tying my shoe and or learning to properly tie my shoe and to blow a bubble with bubble gum. I was really wanting to be able to blow a bubble, but the word that she used for me was tenacious.
Tenacious.
I think it's a huge compliment as I have grown and matured and realized what the word tenacious really means. It means you're a go-getter and you don't let it stop. Don't let anything stop you, essentially. And I have that mentality when I go towards something I want. I don't let myself stop. I just kind of see it through to the end, even if it's crazy. I live in the clouds.
Well, good. I think it's what it takes to open up, to start what you are envisioning. Mm-hmm. And let me try to sum it up, and then you tell me how I do.
Sounds good.
So you are a family, 3 kids, mm-hmm. your husband, Tyler, mm-hmm. It started off as your vision, mm-hmm. and then, which I think is a great idea, is to include your spouse. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you have a big vision like this, you can end up, I think, you can kind of split the family. And I think the closer you keep it to home, do it in your home. I just think it's a good idea. Coming out of my first, I have a married once. If I were to do it again, I would want to work with my next partner and have that saturated time. I don't think working away from each other is the right idea. I think working together, because that's the reason why, unless you have other reasons like arranged marriages or financial marriages or however that I'm sure our people want to do that. But I like your approach on this. So your idea at first was to, you got yoga certified, mm-hmm. that really connected with you. Mm-hmm. And then you thought that you would like to share this with others. You wanted a yoga retreat. Mm-hmm. And then you looked at your husband, probably your plate of food that you had in front of you that he just cooked. And you're like, you know what? I got a job for you too, honey.
That's funny.
And is that kind of how it happened?
Similarly, actually, the plate that I brought you today, I brought him a curry salad that has apples and pecans in it. And
that's delicious.
When I met Tyler, yes, I was working in an office building called Pitney Bowes, and we had a cafeteria lunch area, and he was the chef. We had a remodel, so he was not the chef the whole time I worked there, but he came in toward the latter, mm-hmm. a couple years of me working there. And he put that chicken curry salad out into the cold cooler. And I thought to myself, our chef is amazing. I bought it every day for a week. And then we started talking every day. And then I guess it turns out I fell in love with him. So
that's usually how it starts. They infiltrate from within like the Trojan horse.
Yeah. It wasn't you caught me at hello or had me at hello. It's you had me at the chicken curry salad. Okay. No, he's a funny character, and it's just fun to conversate with him. And it was a great friendship at first. I actually didn't even realize that I liked him until probably a year into our friendship, and then it really has developed from there, which I think makes for a strong relationship as well. Starting off as friends first. And
yeah, I totally agree.
I agree, yes.
So then your vision started to get a little bit bigger.
Yes,
as you
when I met him.
You met him, mm-hmm. You added a chef, mm-hmm. you thought, well, maybe we would do, and when would somebody get a meal after a yoga, you know, it'd be more on the retreat, mm-hmm. on a full weekend retreat type thing. And then, so you started to create this image in your head of yoga retreat, then rooms, how to feed you, good in, good out. Mm-hmm. We talked about the, you're very much in line with a body, mind, and spirit, or some people say heart, or however they want to.
A soul, yeah.
Mm-hmm. A soul. And that's kind of the idea, the whole thing. And mm-hmm. and you're on board for however big or what it might turn into. Because I was talking about, because I've had a lot of people on this show that have kind of done stuff like that. I can't remember their names, but they... Mm-hmm. Are farmers, and they basically grow, and then they have people that are already pre-purchased every month, and then they'll have a drop point, or they'll deliver it all the way to your house. Mm-hmm. But they basically have sold all of their produce before it's even growing. which is pretty cool, right? They just mm-hmm. have like a monthly membership, and then they were doing it on someone else's land. And then I think they've finally, just like you, through just perseverance, bought their own land. And I think in the end, after talking to you, I think that's probably the key, is collaborating with these other people with other visions.
Mm-hmm. As you say that, I wonder if I know the family that you're talking about. They rented a farm and they were growing produce, selling it essentially before it was even finished growing. And they were on somebody else's land, and their landlord was not thrilled that they were running a business on their land. And then they ended up getting their own property. And it's essentially the farm to table that you were mentioning earlier in our previous discussion.
Do you remember their names?
I can't off the top of my head, but they've got two kids, and it's a husband-wife couple. I met them at a yard sale that we hosted, actually, and she asked if I would sell my trinkets, my homemade items, in her little farm store. If we're talking about the same family.
It sounds like the same concept.
Mm-hmm. And they deliver produce, essentially.
Yeah, and their new farm is not that close to town. It's a bit out.
I'm not sure of that. All I knew is Otis Orchards is where Tyler's father lives. We host a yard sale out there every year, and the family came to the yard sale, and their children were so polite. But but she told me the whole story. They're growing produce, and the landlord's not so happy about it, so they're looking for their own place. That was two years ago, maybe?
Yeah, I think I had them on about a year and a half ago.
Oh, fantastic. I think we might be talking about the same family. But yes, I think it's so great to learn of all these independent families that are popping up and trying to make a living for themselves and doing what they love and what they're good at.
You know, so cool. You said you're with, say their name again, Pinmom Bowl?
Oh, no, Pitney Bowes. Actually no longer employed with them. They
were with them. And I think what's important to point out is that I think it's good that we all work for someone else to see what it's like to work. I learned a lesson. I worked for, I'm an artist, full-time artist, and I was in the corporate environment. I was making corporate art. I was an animator.
It's a slow poison.
And so you do what you love, or I was doing what I love. So I'd give up the long hours, like easy, because it was fun. And I was single and I didn't go anywhere. I didn't go to clubs. I enjoyed working and creating and, the stuff that they let me do, the more hours that I poured into it, they'd be like, "Oh, you know, Robert's staying late. Let him do this. Let him do that." Mm-hmm. But in the end, I missed out on a lot of life, and realized if I'm going to work this hard, it'd be pretty nice to know that it's going to definitely return. I can spend more time on the things I want, like. Mm-hmm. I moved up here, I got kids, and I can spend more time with them working for myself, and I can make more time for them because I control it. Otherwise, if you're working for corporate America, then it's not that easy. Mm-hmm. That, and you know when you're going to get fired.
There are a lot of scares. There are a lot of rollovers. Departments get dissolved all the time, and people are always jumping from department to department. It was kind of stressful the 10 years, but I'm really thankful. The day that my department got dissolved, I was thrilled. It took me 24 hours maybe to get over it or so, but it was what I wanted anyway. So it just kind of, in my opinion, when things are intended for your life, the universe makes it happen. And I knew that I was to leave Pitney Bowes. I knew that that was my calling, was to leave Pitney Bowes, well over a year before I left Pitney Bowes. And then the carpet was kind of pulled out from underneath me, which I think was the universe pushing me into the direction I needed to go.
So you hit on a spot that I'm interested in. So usually when people get a yoga teaching certification, they usually have come to it at a point in their life where they need growth or they need that transformation. Is that how you got into it?
Actually, very similarly. My mother passed away when I was 14. I'm 37 on Monday, so I guess I'm 36 still. But 14 years old or so, my older sister, Jessie, is 4 years older, 7 years older. Oh my gosh, what am I doing? She's born 1982. I was born 1987, so she's 5 years older than me. Essentially, she introduced me to yoga, and it was within the whole time frame of my mother passed away, and she was the oldest sister, so she kind of helped take on me and my other two siblings. And she was a great mother substitute, I would say, but she brought me to her gym and, you know, let me hang out with her all the time. And yoga classes were something that she was interested in taking, and I had not really heard of yoga at age 14. I had heard of it, but I really hadn't experienced it.
Did you grow up around here?
I did. We grew up in the Seattle area until I was 6 and then moved over to Spokane here. Mm-hmm. Yep. There was a year that we experienced North Dakota in 1997, but we came back to Spokane here.
Too cold? Or North Dakota, is that cold?
It was cold. It was cold weather. You know, it was actually in the secrecy of my mother knowing that she had kidney failure. And so we moved over there to be with her family, who she realized that her friends over in Spokane were really her family. She was kind of a Cinderella story growing up and was orphaned, essentially, and with her aunt in North Dakota. So we tried to go over there and meet the family, and they were not as welcoming as she hoped, so she wanted to essentially pass away back in Spokane, which is why we came back here. Mm-hmm. So, I love Spokane, though.
You've been to Spokane since you were what age?
6 or so. Yeah, first grade is when I started here. I took kindergarten over in Bothell, Washington.
Okay, so 15 years ago, is it 15 years ago that you did your yoga certification or when you started?
No. So 2016 is when I first had the idea, but it was December or maybe November. So it was quite late in the year. And I had the notion to do yoga. To answer your question, back when I was 14 and I needed to soul search after my mother passed away to figure out like what's going on in the afterlife. Is my mother somewhere? You know, I wanted to know, what is the universe? Why do I feel like signs are being delivered? Like there's
were
something outside.
Were you baptized in a church or
I was 15. I went to Life Center actually. After my mother passed away, I started going to church. I tried to see what exactly was out there. My sister at the time was married to a gentleman whose mother went to Life Center when it was on Indiana. It's just a small little brick building. And they ended up fundraising the whole time, or not fundraising, but collecting tithing money to build a new location across from Spokane Falls Community College. But Life Center is where my roots
started. Is Life Center
the
big megachurch?
Megachurch, yeah, yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
They did a lot of collecting.
Yeah, they did. They did. And, you know, they really pushed it up. They really pushed it toward the end, like, come on, here are all the pictures of the development site. We need this much more money. Huh. Open your pockets if you can. But it was a cool process to see the whole place being built, essentially. I did go to the mega church a time or two, but it was farther from my house. So, and then I started at that point in time, it was 2 or 3 or 4 years after starting church. I was, you know, realizing that church is a great place to discover who God is or who is out there supporting us, guardian angels, the universe, you know, anyone, ancestors, loved ones who have passed away. Church is a good place to start understanding the concept of all of that.
You know, I'm gonna jump in real quick.
Yeah,
I like the sanctuary of church, but I have a hard time sometimes. When I see like a crack, and the crack is possibly like a manipulation
question.
That you can't question things or like once I start to see that I get turned off immediately. But what I do, I mean, every time I go, I went to church when my little sister was here a couple weeks ago and I tear up like almost every time I'm there, just seeing, I love thinking
unity.
The unity and just the tradition and the song and the energy of hope and and feeling that's there. So I really do enjoy that. But I think what church religion has are really good tools in times of need, like loss, grief, and they have really good tried and true recipes, formulas for getting through that. And I think that's, and I think in this, we were talking about what's the difference earlier, difference between spirituality and, you know, how do you, some people use spirituality and only for Christian terms. And then some people can use it more loosely as in, I believe in a higher form, creator or a godlike. And then sometimes I think you can use it as loose as you possibly can. Like for example, of you were saying that you just started questioning what this is inside. There's something more than just my thumping heart or there's more to it. There's something that my mom had. So you were going through a grieving process. And by the way, I know this or I've been through this. I can empathize because the exact same thing happened. My mom died and I even went to the mega church. I went to the Catholic church. I went to like all kinds of churches because I was trying to figure out, I'm like, I'm going to just relook at everything.
Yeah.
And
open-minded.
There's something so grounding about thinking outside of yourself. As a higher self, or there's something more out there, to have faith that there's something out there. Faith is a very strong grounding tool, and I think we all need it. And I think when we're young, we just keep trucking until something rocks our boat.
I think that's exactly right.
And then you get back into it. So I think there are a lot of people that want to do and want to come to a place like Terramata and to look for that kind of healing. that needs to happen. And I think the people that want to open it are those people that have had that transformation and just want to share it.
Because
we're not alone. There's retreat centers all over the world. There's mm-hmm. retreat centers we're talking here in town, and maybe they all start the same way you do, or maybe they start completely different. And hey, I just wanted a man cave, and now we turned it into a retreat center. You know, who knows how they happen, but
all organically and out of some sort of passion.
It's a good sign that you are doing this. It's a good sign that people, other people want to do this. Mm-hmm. And I think it's even cooler, better that you have, I'll just say now, you've raised, which is what made me mm-hmm. realize that you're like the real deal. Like you're going to actually do it. So you've raised almost like $26,000.
Almost. Yeah, I think we're at 25.
Toward this vision mm-hmm. of however it's going to come. And you seem like you have a business mind, but you don't have the business background.
Correct. Which I'm going to college for right now. I'm starting my third quarter next week, actually.
Oh, in business school?
In business school, yes. Spokane Community College.
Good.
I've got two degrees that I'm going towards. Hospitality, tourism is mixed in there, and event management is one degree.
Oh.
So hospitality, event management, tourism. And then the second degree is entrepreneurship. And I knew that I've got the go-getter mentality, but I also know that I'm not educated in how to properly run a business. And I know that the statistics are high about businesses failing pretty early.
Right.
Statistics, yeah. The high statistics about failing in the first 5 years or whatever it be. So I don't want to be a statistic if we can attack this whole approach with knowledge and...
Good for you.
And understanding and whatnot, yeah. And money. We're trying to raise money so we don't have any sort of loans or...
I think you've done fantastic because you've mm-hmm. raised that amount of money, $26,000, mm-hmm. and you brought in a little gift basket here.
I did.
Let's just kind of talk sure. about what it is. This is the bread and butter that you've been yeah. getting your money from. So
$5, $7 products at a time.
Holy smokes. That's a lot. You've been really beating the road or where, how, what do they say?
Beaten feet, maybe.
Beaten feet. Sure. I'll go with that. Okay. So what are you selling? Cause, mm-hmm. I'm going to give it the number real quick and then we'll have to take a break. Okay. If anybody wants to call in, and you want to help some way, perhaps you want something in this basket. The phone number here is 509-747-3807, 747-3807. And, I'll also have notes that we can get a hold of you. So it'll be in the show notes.
Thank you.
It'll be your Instagram and you're probably on Facebook as well, right?
Facebook, Etsy. I've got a website as well, terramatavillage.com.
Oh, great. Okay. So we'll be right back. Take a quick break. And then you're going to tell us what's in this basket.
Sounds good.
Join me, Robert Sevilla, for Creative Mindset, Thursdays at 4.
Thank you. I'm like, I don't even know.
That have the creative
I did
mindset.
Want to get back to a couple
tune in to find out more about creative minds around you.
And yes, Tyler and I met, but I wanted to make mention. I guess we kind of did unfold this, that I wanted to start a yoga studio first, and then I rolled it.
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for September 9th through the 12th. Monday, open mic with Ico Connections, Madrona Hollow, and Ben 10 at the Red Room. Imagine Jazz with Rob Sheps at the Bad Seed and open mic at Live Entertainment. Monday and Tuesday, open jam at Jackson Street. Tuesday, acoustic jam session at Mode in Liberty Lake, Branded Heart at Big Sky Drinkery, and Ron Green at the Osprey. Wednesday, Carly and Katie May at Trailbreaker Cider, Betsy Rogue and Weeby Jammin' at the Kendall Yards Night Market, Nate Ostrander at the Bearded Ginger, Kelly Hunt with Brandon Day at Hamilton Studio, the Rusty Jackson Band at the Valley Eagles, Black Tusk, POTUS, and others at the Big Dipper, open mic with Derek Hart featuring Tabitha Smith at the Checkerboard, and open jam at the Red Room. Thursday, Michael Valley at Arborcrest, Bay 7 at Bolos, Villa Blues and Jazz at Amaru's, and Calling All Captains and Pulling for Victory at the Big Dipper. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
Join me, Chris R. for People Talk, a live call-in talk show that gives listeners a chance to share their thoughts, ideas, community issues, and more. Each week we'll have a topic of discussion to stimulate a conversation among the masses in the greater Spokane area. You'll have to tune in each week to find out. You talk, we talk, people talk. Mondays at 8 p.m. on KYRS Thin Air Community Radio.
And we're back, and we were kind of not back because I forgot to turn the mics off. And we actually have someone on the phone. Let's see. Press two.
Oh, I can hear you.
Oh, there. Fantastic.
Hello.
Great.
Oh, hello.
Hi. My name is Stephanie.
Oh, hey. Hi, Stephanie. My name is Char, and I tuned in a little late to the program, but yes. You had mentioned that you named the retreat. It's a Welsh name, or can you explain the connection, and do you have Welsh heritage?
No, pardon me. No Welsh heritage. So Terra Mater means Mother Earth in Latin. And I was really looking for a name that suited what the retreat center is going to look like. And we really want it to have an earthy appeal, essentially, make it look like Mother Nature has grown out of every crack, essentially. So when the name Terra Mater came to me, the pronunciation that I've chosen is Terra Mater, and Terra, T-E-R-R-A. Mater is M-A-T-E-R. And there are, I found a website on Google that had all the pronunciations from around the world. There were probably 25 different pronunciations. And I knew that I wanted it to be Terra Mater just based on, you know, I kind of think it was a download. I feel like it was a download.
Caller, tell me, does it sound Welsh?
Well, Welsh is one of the pronunciations. It looks like Portuguese, Romanian, Swedish, Turkish, Welsh. They all pronounce it Terra Mater, where other people in the world or other regions pronounce it Terra Mater. And I didn't intend it to be Mater, instead Mater. But pardon me, did you want to ask a question?
Oh, no, that was you clarified that. So thank you so much. And I'm very interested in coming out and doing a retreat when you get up and running, and I'll just continue to listen to the program. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, caller.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Cool. You don't often get a caller.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting.
Even if it was just a question that was kind of empty. But it. So she was saying that it's a Welsh pronunciation.
Probably, yes. Okay. I don't have heritage in the Welsh region, but specifically of all the pronunciation, it could be Mater, 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 Mata.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I want it to sound like terracotta, Terra Mater. I mean, not purposely, but to rhyme with terracotta. I like the Mata sound. I just think it flows properly. And I did think it was kind of a download when the name came to me. It was, It was almost just there. I had so many different little brainstorms of what we could call the retreat center, and then Terra Mater was just there, and I knew that that was it.
Have you ever done the 23andMe or the Ancestry?
My sister has. I have not.
Did she have any Welsh?
I can't recall what the specifics were.
Maybe you do. Maybe there is a little download in there from the past.
So. Well, maybe not even from the past, but I do believe that we have a path that we are to generally follow in life. And I definitely think that this business idea is upon my path. And I feel like there are helpers on the outside, guardian angels, if you want to call them that, spirit guides, if you want to call them that, ancestors, past loved ones. I really feel like there is intuitive information on the outside.
I hope there is. I mean, I think there's only positive stuff that comes out of the idea of that there's ancestors around helping and guiding us. I think that's important. I think it's part of the faith and hope, positivity. Okay, I'm going to follow up on a question that I asked you before, and then we're going to get to how you got to that 26,000. And so at 15, introduced to yoga. Later in life, what was it? You said 2017 is when you kind of started. When did you get certified, or maybe actually before that, what got you into yoga? And then what did it solve? Did it solve anything? Did it get you away from the house? Like sometimes I know having small kids, going to the grocery store without them.
Is a treat.
My ex-wife candy. And I, we used to talk about like, who's going to do the supermarket vacation? You know, it's only like 20 minutes and you're going up and down aisles. You don't need to, just so you can get a little time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what, how did that kind of connection?
I think it really was just searching for, is there anything on the outside? You know, as a child, I always had an intrigue with ghosts. So I always kind of thought that there's something on the outside. And, you know, that just unravels a whole veil of questions. If there are ghosts, is there an afterlife, or mm-hmm. is there something on the outside? And then there's the lifelong question, what is the purpose of mankind? Why am I here? What is the purpose of life? Exactly. And I took philosophy in college, first quarter actually, and by choice, because I was so interested in it, really, sociology, psychology, and philosophy. But my philosophy class was so intriguing that it really helped open up a lot of questions as well. So yes, I've always had the mindset that there's a spiritual aspect to humanhood, and that there's a bigger meaning for us being here on Earth, which I've come to conclude it's all about interactions and treating each other nicely. And
did you do meditation before yoga?
Thank you. I've tried, and you know, I'm not skilled at meditation. It is still something that I need guidance in. So the guided meditations are really helpful to me. I should meditate more. I don't as often as I should.
Guided is mm-hmm. should be where you start. Just like whatever gets you there. I couldn't do it unless that's where I kind of found yoga. Because mm-hmm. my ex-wife, when we had a studio, we had Pilates studios, and I was just all about Pilates, and I didn't want to do any yoga. I mm-hmm. just thought that I'm like, oh, that's passé, that's old stuff. And in the end, I liked the group setting. Mm-hmm. And then I would exhaust myself trying to get in. I'm competitive, so I would try to get into these. It was more of kind of like an Ashtanga. Mm-hmm. Did you ever go to FSG downtown?
FSG, no.
That was like the first yoga studio I remember here.
Okay, but I did practice Ashtanga. I actually dabbled in yoga when I was 15, 16, 17 with my older sister at her gym, mm-hmm. mostly on guest passes too. I don't even think that I had a membership.
Nice.
And then I moved to Oregon, Eastern Oregon, for college.
Uh-huh.
And there I met a yoga teacher who runs yoga out of her home, which was an old butcher shop. So it was just this big concrete building, and she had a very hippie soul, and it was, you know, cool sheets hanging everywhere and nice chimes and music. And it was a really lovely place. I did yoga at her house 3 times a week for a couple of years, and she really helped me delve into just being interested in this whole metaphysical world and who we are as people and meditation. I mean, not so much practicing meditation, but just the mm-hmm. thought of being able to escape somewhere in yourself that at the same time is outside of yourself, and connecting with your higher self or any higher powers that are. And, you know, it's just really intriguing.
I think that's what I'm looking for, is mm-hmm. like, what is it that made you dive in deeper? Or what was that?
Intrigue.
That realization. There's something in there that usually people follow into a school and mm-hmm. are looking for more answers, which is exactly why I did a teacher training. Mm-hmm. And it fills in a lot of blanks. You see it, but it kind of codifies it. It mm-hmm. puts it in a structure that makes it seem like you're not alone in these kind of fantastic thoughts. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I ask about that origin is I think a lot of people go through it and sometimes don't find the time to take a yoga teacher course mm-hmm. or even the cost, because it's, what, $2,500?
Yeah.
But some people look for things. That's why I think that these weekend retreats are very much needed. And I think they'll continue to be needed mm-hmm. into exactly. the future as people start to look for that. I think these weekend retreats are also going to be more geared toward a wellness on the more medicinal side mm-hmm. of helping you get through things like these trauma. I am very much enjoying this psychedelic future of with like psilocybin and
DMT and
DMT, yeah, like all of this.
You can go on retreats to take DMT and peyote and all of that, and it's guided. It's essentially you sit in a gazebo and have some sort of experience.
Yeah,
exactly.
In a supervised way and a nice safe environment. So. But where do you do those things? And you do them in little retreat centers like this. And so I think there's not going to be, I think it'll eventually, there's not many here yet, and they'll have a big different scale of cost entry points. You talked about that one of your main things is that you want it to be affordable. Mm-hmm. And it, I mean, you still have a long time to get there to raise the money, but I think it'll all come to you. You seem like you have the right heart for it. I used to do some classes. I called it intuitive sculpting, and I would have like scholarships. I would tell people, so if they couldn't have, they didn't have all the money, I would just kind of discount it. Yeah,
oh, that's
basically
really cool.
I discount it. So there's all kinds of little tricks that you can do to make it accessible for people, and then other people will just. You know, never discount. That's one thing I learned is you never have to save anyone else's money. Just let them save it. You know, they can save to it's because sometimes it's the value that goes into it that they want to pay the money, or maybe they just have a bunch, or, you know, just do what you need to do and the money will figure itself out.
Exactly. Yes. And as far as money figuring itself out, in raising money to start a business, I know it's going to take a lot of money to start a business, but I've always had the mentality that it will figure itself out. If it's meant to be, then it will work its way. It'll work its way to some sort of pathway.
A perfect segue back to how you've been raising this money far, which is this little cool gift bag that you brought in.
Yes.
And, on it, I see keychains, ornaments. Mm-hmm. Looks like are these salve candles, lights? Tell us what's in here.
Thank you. Okay, so we've got, first of all, the crafts that we like to make. We purposefully like to give a second life to any materials that we can. Mm-hmm. So recycled and reclaimed crafts are kind of our forte.
I'll assume you're talking about this insulator.
Yes,
glass insulator.
Yes, it's a telephone pole insulator, and it's just a little kind of cone, rounded cone shaped glass. And what we've done is we've affixed LED candles. They're flickering candles. You can change the battery and everything, but they look really nice when you turn the candles on, and it kind of illuminates the insulator. What we've also made are like bottles, old antique bottles. My partner got a whole, I think it was like 8,000 bottles or something that somebody had dug up from a reservoir in Montana in the 1970s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they're all at least vintage bottles or antique. He's a bottle guy. He's really into old bottles. We're actually having an old bottle sale here next week. But anyway, this old bottle in particular, you can tell it's over 100 years old because it's got the bubbles in the glass still, if you take a look at it.
Hmm.
Yeah. So what we've done is we've taken those old bottles and he put corkstop soap dispenser tops into the bottles. And essentially we've made soap dispensers out of old bottles with a cork top, and they look really nice in my opinion.
Yeah. In fact, I think everybody wants to do something with these bottles, but I've never seen anybody really do anything except stack them on a ledge or
a windowsill.
Yeah,
or
like on a windowsill. Exactly.
And they look cool that way too. I mean, there is something to appreciate about old bottles, but especially old bottles and the telephone insulators, there seem to be an overabundance as far as collectors go. Lots of collectors have lots of insulators, lots of...
This insulator thing is the coolest use I've seen.
Oh, I'm so glad you say that.
Someone using it. I haven't seen ones this small, but the fact that you slipped a little tea light in there is super cool.
Thank you. Yeah, that one is clear in particular and small. And we do have bigger ones. We have teal ones. We have some purple ones. And then I got creative and took fingernail polish, which is scratch resistant, I found, scratch resistant. And fingernail polish will make it nice and colored or glossy or sparkly. Mm. So we do have some decorated ones as well.
Ooh, I've got an idea for you. There's something called hodgepodge. You ever heard of hodgepodge?
It's a glue. Mm-hmm.
And it basically, you can mix, I think, a food color in the clear.
Ooh.
And you can line stuff like this.
You're talking Mod Podge, aren't you?
Hot Mod Podge, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, I actually have a bottle right at home. Perfect.
There you go.
So
that's
you're talking to color it and then dip it in?
Yeah, you color the glue and then it dries like...
Oh, and then just paint it on. Okay, yeah. Okay. I'm thinking like a dipped ice cream cone, dip it in there. But yes, if you paint it on, that would work.
But yeah, probably painting on.
Yeah, that would look good.
But I've never done it, but I've seen it done and mm-hmm. I was impressed with the results.
Yeah.
It looked like stained glass, but it was just... Not hodgepodge, Mod Podge, Mod Podge?
Mod Podge.
Mod Podge.
M-O-D-G-E. Podge, Mod Podge, I believe.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Don't get me,
yeah, it's
I'm
a cool
gonna
product.
Get confused. Okay, let's see, what else do you have in here?
We've got a stack of our business cards, which I did give you some extra business cards. Oh, goodness. Extra business cards in case you know anyone you want to pass some business cards out to. We do have our marketing flyer as well. It's a 6-inch by 9-inch flyer with basically a synopsis on the backside of what we're aiming to do to build the retreat center. It is going to be a retreat center venue. So essentially my partner, Tyler, will be the chef. Our three children will be the future employees. And then I will arrange for whoever wants to come teach their own retreat. And then whoever wants to plug in can rent our facility for the 3 days. But we've got the marketing flyer in here, which has some pictures of what I wish it to look like. Basically reclaimed materials, very naturey. I like the look of yurts, mm-hmm. and circular buildings, or even the beams of the roof of the yurts, how they're kind of in that circular. It's a special thing that you do where you have like a window and each of the beams support each other. They like wrap over each other. I just like the framing of the roof of yurts. But anyway, natural building. We were talking about building with cob as well to get all the bunkhouses. But yes, this flyer that's in the basket here basically runs through all of the natural looks that we want to have as far as earthy looks go. So yes, I've got the marketing materials, the business card, and all the goodies.
Well, awesome. So on this business card that you have, mm-hmm. The large card, not the mm-hmm. small card, it just has the full-on vision. And I think that's what I'd really like to, or I think that's super impressive that you're just, you put so much energy, so much vision. You can really tell that this is...
A work of heart.
A work of heart. Yeah, good. That's, you've heard this before. And that... Yeah, I'm really hoping, like that last caller that called in, I mean, this is just about participation. Who can help? You're going to do it no matter what. But mm-hmm. if someone else, I think people donate. I think people mm-hmm. have maybe land or however this could. It could be the same legacy. Someone wants to move on. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to give a number out in case you want to call and talk. It have a question. For Stephanie, it's 509-747-3807. Again, that's 509-747-3807. I'm going to take my last break, and then we'll come back until then we'll be done.
Sounds
good.
Went
pretty quick, right?
Awesome.
This time I'll turn the mics off.
Sounds good.
Or wait, we could start.
Unless you want to hear our chit-chat.
Yeah, we could chit-chat right before. It's going pretty good.
How about them Yankees?
Yeah, it's going really good. All right, go Seahawks. All right, oops, I missed it. And...
This is your KYRS live and local calendar for September 13th through the 17th. Friday, RCA and the Radicals and Desperate Electric at the Wavy Bunch Night Market at Sprague and Sherman, Volume Day 1, with Marshall McLean, the Shook Twins, Vika and the Velvets, and numerous others throughout downtown, working spliffs at Chan's Red Dragon, and Uh-Oh and the OLs, Sleeping Jesus, and Time Worm at the Chameleon. Saturday, James Earl Berkeley at Beck's Harvest House, Quarter Monkey at the Mosey Inn, Volume Day 2 with the Evergreen Afro Dub Orchestra, Leftover Soul, the Aspen Kai Band, and numerous others throughout downtown, the Spokane Symphony with Awadaj and Pratt at the Fox, and A Train to Nowhere at the Checkerboard. Sunday, Atomic Jive at Big Barn Brewing, Lake City Blues at Arborcrest, and Christy Lene at Hamilton Studio. Monday, open mic with Miss Crucial and Ben 10 at the Red Room, and open mic at Live Entertainment. Monday and Tuesday, open jam at Jackson Street. For an entire hour of local musicians, tune into Sounds of Spokane every Sunday night at 8 on KYRS.
Listen to the Latin Lounge every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. on KYRS-FM, Medical Lake, Spokane. Heard on 88.1, also heard on 92.3.
KYRS listeners pay attention to quality. They look for quality in their work and in their daily lives. If your business cares about quality customers, look to KYRS. Call 509-624-7573 for more information.
And we're back. Okay, so we came up with a plan.
Okay.
Over the little break, and we only have like less than 10 minutes left.
I guess so.
And so we have a giveaway. And so we're actually going to give away something from the basket, the basket that you brought in. So I'm going to give you a choice. Which one do you want to pitch?
Of any of these?
Yeah. Well, actually this little candle is going to stay here in the studio.
You like the insulating?
I think this is super cool.
I think that one of the coolest projects is Tyler's project of the bottle, the soap bottle dispenser.
Soap bottle dispenser from the old turn of the century.
Mm-hmm. And it's a cork stop topper. And it just is a really cool soap dispenser. I think it's a really great use of an old bottle, and it looks cool.
So if we were to describe it, it is probably 1.5 inches square by about 4.5 inches tall, to a thick neck that's about 1.25 inches round neck, to a coarse thread. Yeah, coarse threaded neck or top. And then instead of having something to screw on to match that thread, Clever Tyler has put in a cork with a pump action on the top. So normally this goes for, does this have a tag on it?
Yes, normally about $10.
A $10 thing, and we're going to give it away to someone who's been listening. Correct. So you guys call in and you can get a free gift. Okay. The phone number here is 509-747-3807. Again, 509-747-3807. And this is Terramata
Village.
The future
Terramata Village.
Just the future, yes. And this is how they have made their way to put together quite a bit of money, mm-hmm. doing it by $10, $5 at a time. Mm-hmm. You're also going to be at the Falls?
Spokane Community College. Okay. It's called the Fall Folk Festival. It's in November. It's an annual event. I believe this is the 29th year. And
will people see there?
A lot of vendors and a lot of cultural dances. They have, I think, 3 stages that they continuously circulate performances on. Mm-hmm. And so you can see dances from Jamaica, from India, from Hawaii. They get extremely eclectic.
Oh, so that's cool. You'll have a booth there?
I will have a booth. I'll have I believe it's 16 foot by 8 foot space or something along those lines. But
We got a caller. This is getting easier and easier. Okay, I am going to... Oops. Oh, shoot. Caller, call me right back. I accidentally hung up on you.
Call back, caller. You might be our only caller. You might be the winner.
I get so excited I push the button. I'm just going to have to... They called right back. All right, I'm going to have to answer.
All right.
Right in here. You okay? And I push this. And hello. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Oh, okay.
Are you going to claim your prize?
You know, I don't need a prize. I'd like to buy a few of those.
That's the spirit.
That's fantastic. How do you want to get a hold of me? I mean, I guess I have an Instagram that you can get on. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. Let's see. Instagram.
I think the Instagram is the
easiest. Instagram person.
I'm sorry. Say again.
Oh, I'm not really on Instagram.
How about this? We're almost done with the show. And if you call right back just after 4:55 is when I have to get off the air. If you call right back, I'll answer the phone and then I'll let you to
exchange
privately
contact
talk.
Information.
Yeah. And then that way, well, thank you calling in.
I'm Stephanie, by the way. Thank you for calling.
Oh, Stephanie. Okay. All right. No, you're welcome. Okay. Yeah, I'll call you right back.
Okay.
Okay. Right. Thank you.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
What a treat.
That is so cool.
There you go. Look at that.
I know that people appreciate that. I think it's really cool to build with recycled things.
There's another caller.
Yay! I love when people appreciate these things. Thank you.
Hold on 1 second. And caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
Hi there.
What are you giving out?
Okay, we are giving out. Is it still the bottle, or there could be something else? We were offering up an antique. It's quite probably a turn of the century antique bottle that is turned into a repurposed into a soap dispenser or lotion.
Oh yeah, so I heard. Yeah, I'm a constant listener. Kinda.
Oh, thank you. That's cool. Yeah. Well, thanks for calling. Would you like that, or we have some other options? I've got a candle made out of recycled wax melts. We also have some hand sanitizer that we've put together. The scent is mahogany.
I like the first thing.
Okay.
The bottle. I was going to leave a message for the manager there to, or just tell again when and where the folk festival is. I have 1,137 four-leaf clovers.
Wow.
400 of which are on mahogany.
Oh, wow. Oh, so do you want to be a vendor there?
Well, I could, I was going to go downstairs at Kazuri and show them all my boxes. But,
cool.
There's other people at barter fairs that I send orders to. It'd be kind of fun to...
To be at a folk festival.
Yeah, especially something unique like that.
Yeah, to have a few of my boxes or even send them by mail. Or put them at the studio, you know, or whatever.
Well, are you on Instagram or Facebook?
Yeah, I am on Instagram.
Okay, so if you can reach out to Terramata Village.
Actually, on Instagram, we are earthy_TMV. Okay. TMV for Terramata Village. earthy_TMV.
We should have said that at the beginning.
We should have. And, you know, we didn't even make mention that as we're at vendor events, we sell under a different business name. earthy_T for Terra, M for Mata, V for Village. TMV.
And that can be lowercase, too.
Correct. Yep. Not Kate.
So if you want to reach out to Stephanie and exchange information.
.com or org?
So that's my Instagram name. If you actually go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can go to our website as well. I do have a contact us page on our website. The website is www.terra, that's T-E-R-R-A, Mata, M-A-T-E-R.
Sounds like Mater.
Village. I know. That's why I wanted to make clear the pronunciation, Mata. Yes, but and then Village, V-I-L-L-A-G-E. So www.terramatavillage.com.
Cool. Yeah, I may have set a world record here. I just found 5 in 25 minutes. And
oh, wow.
It just comes naturally. Yeah, it's just like 1,137 in 9 months. And,
oh, wow. Power to you.
183 days.
Good job.
Yeah, that's an alignment. Some people think looking at the clock and seeing 11:11 or something like that.
Numerology is a sign.
Right? This guy's finding... four-leaf clovers everywhere.
Everywhere. That's so cool.
Yeah, fives and sixes, too.
Five-leaf clovers and six-leaf clovers?
Yeah.
I didn't know those existed.
sometimes you can make them yourself, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. You find a heart-shaped one and split it, wait a few weeks, see what happens. It'll turn into full leaf.
Oh,
you know,
so shouldn't have said
that's
my
cheating.
That's funny.
Okay,
good
well,
luck, though, you know. Good luck out there. With.
Hey, you too. And I was going to mention, the Fall Folk Festival deadline has passed, but Nora Scott is the lady's name, and she's very nice. If you go to the Fall Folk Festival webpage, you might be able to... Sweet talk your way to an application. It does cost $150 for the space that I got.
Yours is a large space.
A large
usually
space,
probably
uh-huh.
10 by 10s, right?
Not 10 by 10s, but like a table or two tables or a space. But
okay,
different
well,
prices.
Caller, thank you. We got to get off the air. Yeah. This was our time.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
We've got the websites and all the info. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. Talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
You too.
Okay, that was our show. And you thought maybe we wouldn't have enough things to talk about.
I guess.
It's, you know, the key is giving stuff away.
Exactly, I know.
Okay, perfect. So I am going to close the show, and then I hope we get our call back. I will pick up the call so you can perfect. Get that sale.
Okay.
And thank you very much, first caller, for offering to buy instead
yeah, thank
of receive.
You.
All right, that's our awesome. Show, and see you next time. Again, this is... Tara Mata Village, also business name going known by.
We sell the vendor business. We sell under quote unquote Earthy Aspirations.
Earthy aspirations.
Aspirations, yes. But all if you Google Tara Mata Village, my website is the first to come up. Our website is, so you'll find us.
All right.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank
Great
you,
to be
Stephanie.
Here. Bye.
A farmer was asked what he'd do if he won $1 million lottery. Well, he said, I guess I'd just keep farming till the money runs out. Trying to make a living as a farmer is not for the faint-hearted. You have to take out high-interest loans from cold-eyed bankers to put in a crop and buy supplies. Then, you're at the mercy of everything from bugs to monopolistic middlemen. And here's a cruel twist. If you defy the odds and produce a great crop, you lose money. This is happening right now. With unusually good weather this year, corn and soybean harvests are expected to set records. But this abundance creates a market glut, allowing middlemen to knock down prices paid to farmers. A bushel of Illinois corn, for example, costs farmers $4.30 to produce, but they're only getting $3.70 for it. Meanwhile, the cost of such basics as seed, fertilizer, and tractors are skyrocketing. Those high costs, coupled with low crop prices, means that farmers' income is expected to drop by 25% this year. This good crop, bad price phenomenon might seem ironic, but it's deliberate, an inevitable product of America's perverse agricultural policy that pushes farmers to overproduce in order to keep commodity prices low for giant processors and retailers. Little known fact, our national farm policy is not written by farmers, but by corporate lobbyists, lawyers, and economists, people who could not run a watermelon stand if we gave them the melons and had the highway patrol flag down the customers for them. This is Jim Hightower saying, that has got to change. To join an effort to demand a farm bill written by and for farmers, consumers, workers, and our environment, go to farmaid.org/take-action. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
You are listening to KYRS, Medical Lake, Spokane. Best heard on 88.1 or 92.3 on your FM dial.
KYRS, Medical Lake, and K222BG, Dartford, 88.1 FM, 92.3 FM, Thin Air Community Radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.